Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's putting the finishing touches on perfecting a Jason Linden costume. I am Rob's sister, Nino. Well, everybody, welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. We've got a great show for you here today. It is Halloween, and I'm going to be talking today with the great Davey Rickenbacker. We're going to do it live. We got a YouTube video. If you want to watch the video version of my conversation with Davey Rickenbacker, if that is your thing, or you could just hang out here and you'll get the podcast version, because it's going to be a lot of fun talking with Davey, one of my favorites. So excited about the opportunity to catch up with Davey and hear what he's thinking about this season. I thought this was the best episode of the season. Really a great show. I was on the edge of my seat on Wednesday night, and a lot to talk through. Of course, that Jason was the person who got voted out. Complete stunner for me, for him as well, I suspect. Had a great exit interview with Jason. If you haven't listened to it, we actually had the opportunity to go a little bit over our allotted time. So check that out. Some interesting revelations came out of that exit interview with Jason. So that's up in our podcast feed. We'll have our feedback show with Allie Lasher as well this weekend. And so get your feedback questions in for Allie. And don't forget about the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. Before we get to Davey, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at ButcherBox. Now, if you've been watching Survivor like we have over the years, you know that's not always easy to get access to high-quality meat, and even when you do on Survivor, you don't want to go through the steps that they went through to prepare the chicken they eat on Survivor. So that's where ButcherBox comes in, because in real life, it can be tough to get access to high-quality meat as well. That's where ButcherBox comes in. They're going to get you 100% grass-fed finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, wild-caught salmon, and not everybody can get that at the grocery store. ButcherBox is going to bring that right to you. And at the holidays, Thanksgiving's around the corner as we head into November, there's nothing more festive than a turkey dinner, and you can get a turkey through this great offer from ButcherBox. When you go to butcherbox.com/RHAP, enter in promo code RHAP at checkout, and they're going to give you a free turkey and $20 off your first box. Each box from ButcherBox comes with 9 to 11 pounds of meat that's free of added hormones, no antibiotics either. That's all there in the Butcher Box. It is packed fresh, shipped frozen, and vacuum sealed, so it stays that way. You can go through and get one of the boxes that they've designed, or you can pick and choose what you want to have there to feed your family. It is amazingly affordable for feeding a big group of people like we have at our house. Butcher Box is the most affordable and convenient way to get healthy, humanely raised meat. With Butcher Box, you get the highest quality meat for around $6 a meal, and with Thanksgiving right around the corner, it's the perfect time to give ButcherBox a try. Sign up today and get a free turkey plus $20 off your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/RHAP, enter promo code RHAP at checkout. That's butcherbox.com/RHAP, or enter promo code RHAP at checkout for a free turkey and $20 off your first box. All right, I'm very excited to be joined by our guest today, that he is here with us on his favorite holiday out of the year. I'm very excited to welcome back to the podcast a man that we got to meet on Survivor, David versus Goliath. And yeah, we were wondering where he might be.
David! Where is David?
Please welcome the great Davey Rickenbacker. Davey, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Rob? I'm doing good. I'm not missing, as you can see.
Yes,
because I'm here with you today.
Yes. So Davey has a costume, which is a all-time great, that he is a milk carton with missing Davey Rickenbacker. So where is Davey? What does the phone number say? 1-800-555 lost.
1-800-555 lost.
Lost.
And it says last seen Saturday night at Bob's Tavern. No idea where Bob's Tavern is, but
yes, but so Davey is on the carton of milk. So where is Davey? He's missing. So a great costume. I'm trying to wear, I tried to put this on. This is my Bowser, head that I have here. And I've got part of this, turtle shell also here, but I think that I need to take this off to have a serious conversation with Davey, but I have it, I'll keep it nearby in case I need to.
Put mine back a bit and then throw my headphones on. There we go.
Yeah. All right. Well, Davey, I really appreciate you making some time to chat with us, because I get so many requests from people, and you are usually a name that I get frequently for, like, hey, when will you get Davey? Where's Davey? We need him on the podcast.
That's awesome, man. I got to tell you, went to, you know, I've been hosting a few watch parties here and there. Yes. In Atlanta, and my mother came to one.
Oh,
yes.
Mother.
And, yes. And my mother, Hazel, and she said that maybe about 13 people stopped her just so that she could say, where's Davey? So
yeah.
Just to let you know, that made her night. So thank you guys for making that my tagline that I just can't get away from.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I have guess what I caught, and I can't, I don't know if I have that on the soundboard or not. Give me a minute.
Eel or some.
Yeah, an eel or something. So that was great too. All right, but Davey, really excited to have you with us here today to talk about everything that's going on. I thought this was the best episode this season, the one last night.
Best episode, best tribal. I thought it was all around just an amazing episode for IOI. Don't sleep on 39.
Don't sleep on 39. Yeah, I'm not sleeping on it, because it's been, you know, I thought that maybe we might get a couple of duds here after the swap. But no, last night was, you know, as good as it's been the whole year.
Right. We even had went to Island of the Idols.
Yeah.
And that was entertaining, too. So I was really excited about last night's episode.
Yeah. I was worried, especially when we're going to have two challenges and, like, oh, we're not going to get to a lot of stuff. But we covered a lot, had a real epic tribal council as well. And so a lot of stuff to talk about here with you. All right, Dave, before we talk Survivor, are you doing good? Everything's good?
I'm doing great, man. As you can see, I've got my Walking Dead wall back here.
Yeah.
I won't try to give you a tour of the whole area because my webcam, all of this stuff is new and I'm just trying it out. But you can see my King Ezekiel cosplay right here with my Tiger Shiva. You know, I'm oh, yeah. Okay, there it is.
Yeah. Give you more of the wide shot.
Right. So I'm working. You know what, Rob? Since I last talked to you, I think I was job searching. So now I can officially let you know that I have been back with the CDC now. So I've been working with them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I've been working with them since about February. I work in an organization called the Community Guide. And basically what we do is we go to community organizations and we see how we can help them. We see how we can promote what they're doing. Recently, we've been working with an effort for Housing First to combat homelessness. So I'm really enjoying what I'm doing, still doing a lot with social media, and still a big fan of Survivor and The Walking Dead, as you can tell.
And your job at the CDC that you had to quit to go do Survivor, correct?
Yes. Well, it's not the exact job. It's the same position, but it's just a different department. Before I left for Survivor, I was working in global health.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I love global health so much, you know, when they give you the call, just like Survivor, if I'm going to be in this department, yes, I'm going to go running.
Yeah. Okay. Davey, I also saw you had a tweet earlier about how that millennials are spending so much money on Halloween, and it made you feel better in terms of how much money you've spent on Halloween. How many costumes did you do this year?
Oh my God, Rob, I was just thinking to myself, I've got to figure out a way to make this one big costume a year because I think this is about my fourth costume. As
Yeah.
you, I don't know if you saw my Philip Shepherd
Yes,
at the watch
I
party.
did see that. I did see that. Well, that had to be a cheap one, I feel like. That seemed like there wasn't a lot of clothes.
Right, exactly. I went thrifting for that, and
Yeah, that was an easy
I
one.
asked. Right, and I asked Philip for his permission first, and
Oh,
he, of course, gave me the okay.
yes. No, I saw on Twitter that he seemed honored that you did the Philip Shepherd costume. It was Philip Shepherd as Jessup Herring, I think that was his that's how he appeared at the final tribal council in
Exactly.
Redemption
Yeah.
Island. Yes.
He was so honored, so much so that I don't think he knows what cosplay is, but I'm pretty much a professional cosplayer. And when I
Yes.
reached out to him to ask him, he was like, "Oh, sure, do it, man." And he gave me like 50 pictures. I'm like, "Philip, I got this." Trust me, I'm gonna do you justice.
Yes. Okay. And so you had Philip, and then you have this one.
I had Philip this one. I'm going to recycle one from last year, which was Devilish Davy. I have my little devil horns and
Yes.
I'm going to go out in my cape. And today at work, I always do like a little slight one that's appropriate for the job. And
Yes.
I don't know if you heard or if you follow the show Boondocks,
So I saw
but
your picture. Yeah.
So I was Granddad from Boondocks because the actor that portrays him passed away yesterday. So I decided to pay homage to that. And, Boondocks is an amazing series. And I just thought that it would be perfect. And hopefully somebody would notice and someone would get it. Now, the people at my job, they didn't understand at all. They just thought I was they just thought I was an old man at
All
work,
right, well,
which
that
also
works.
works.
That works. Okay. Davey, I want to ask you about this vote last night where we saw the new Vokai tribe come together on this 4-4 split. Elaine is going to play this vote block. And so into my interview with Jason today that we talked about what was going on, and he said that the plan going in was that they were really thinking about that they were going to blindside Aaron potentially at that tribal
Oh.
council. That was the original plan. And then once Elaine played the vote steal or the vote block, then they changed the votes to Elaine and hoped that Aaron was still going to be with them.
Wow.
So with that new information, what do you think about that move for the four Vokai members potentially voting out the person that was thinking about flipping with them?
Well, hey, look. If what you're saying is true and that was the case, then Missy, Erin, and Elizabeth, I believe is her name,
Yeah.
they owe Elaine big time. I mean, maybe they owe the Survivor gods a little bit too
Yeah.
because she did go to the Island of the Idols. But basically, Elaine saved their asses. So yeah, I mean, I feel like at this point in the game, you have to play using all of your senses, if that makes any sense. So it'll be good for Aaron to go back to camp. And even though you saw how angry Tommy was and you saw how hysteric, well, I don't know if that's the correct word to explain what Lauren was doing last night, but
She was
he's
upset.
definitely. Yeah, she was upset and he's gonna have to do some damage control. Missy too, but I feel like Aaron will have to do way more than the other three.
Well, do you need to do damage control when your side it takes over in the numbers? I got some questions for you that compared this to where you guys were when it was the Davids versus the Goliaths, and then you had these advantages like the vote steal and idols, and then it was similar where you guys were able to eventually go from you were down in the numbers. Then to get it back to even, and then you guys had more numbers, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Something that I was thinking about on the road when I was stuck in traffic, Atlanta traffic is horrible. First of all, we're in a unique situation where we don't have a three tribe swap this season, which I
Yeah.
love. I think they should either alternate or switch that up a little more. And
You love it that we don't have it, or you love it that
I love it that we don't have the three tribes swap this season.
Me
I don't
too.
Want it season after season after season. You know, I want to see something different, shake it up. And I was thinking, I wonder if themes play into trust at all. And what I mean by that is, you know how the theme of our season was David versus Goliath, and we had some certain commonalities already because of that theme. I wonder if that bonded us more than if we were to just play the game as a regular tribe like Laro and Bokai.
Mm-hmm.
I say this to say, you know, Missy seemed like she was ready to flip once the swap happened. Aaron seemed like he was ready to flip once the swap happened. And I don't know if those flips would have happened on David versus Goliath because of how close we were originally at our original tribe. And yeah, that was just something that I was thinking about.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point in terms of how people stick together, especially when it's an identity that I think that people like in terms of, you know, hey, we're the Davids, we're the underdogs. We have to work together. You know, we're the heroes. We have to stick together. So I do think that there is something to that in terms of it being not only just like, okay, here's your tribal identity, but it's also one that people feel like really supports who they are as people.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to something that's a little more random, like we're all healers, or we're all no collar people.
Right.
Like I feel like some of these are stretches, but I do think that David versus Goliath, I think one of the reasons that the season was so strong was because I think that people, you know, really did end up bonding to the identities that were given out from in terms of, are you a David or are you a Goliath?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said before, they kind of owe Elaine. If Elaine had not had that steal a vote, then I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure she possibly would have went home. They would have flipped on her and joined Vokai. So it's good on her, good on the Survivor Gods, and hopefully they can heal from this. And also, Rob, I think I'm going to go ahead and take this off because it's starting to look like a white.
I want you to be
white.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's a different Halloween costume. Okay. All right. Davey.
And it also was pretty hot in there.
Yeah, I know. I was wearing my Bowser head for a minute, and it was like, boy, it's really getting trapping all the heat. Davey, did the people that were from the old Lyro, did they make the right decision to go after Jason as one of the four people they could have targeted?
Yeah, I think they did. Jason seems to be a smart guy. He hasn't gotten a lot of camera time, but from what we saw, you know, in the first episode with him being able to turn the votes around, I hope I'm remembering the episodes correctly. And yeah, he seemed like the type of guy who could really do some damage and the type of guy you either want on your side in the merge or you want out in the merge.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think they made the right decision. Who were their other options?
Could have gone with Dan, Missy, or Dan, Missy, or Lauren.
Dan, Missy, or was it? No. It was not Missy. It was Lauren.
I'm sorry.
Dan or Tommy.
Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy seems to be playing a hell of a game, too. If they would have went from hit for Tommy, it's same situation. That's either a guy you want on your side at the merge or a guy you want the hell out of here because he can win that $1 million because he's such a charmer.
Mm-hmm.
With Lauren, I don't really see her as a threat at this point, and I don't think they saw her as a threat at this point, so I think they felt pretty safe with her. And Dan, you know, he's already rubbing people the wrong way, so I'm pretty sure they said, let's just keep him in there.
Right. Now, when you went to one of these post-swap tribal councils that you were in, the there was only you and Elizabeth, right, from your original David's tribe, and there was also Cebu, Godfather Carl, but he was off on Exile Island at that time.
Right.
And then you were with what, Alec, Natalia, and Cara Kay. And you guys were able to flip the vote around. Now, was that anything that you guys were doing, or is just that Alec felt like that Natalia was getting on his nerves?
It was definitely a combination of myself and Elizabeth getting into Alec's mind, and Alec already, you know, not feeling 100% with Natalia. We played on that and we felt confident. Well, I won't say we felt confident going into that tribal, but I knew I wasn't going home. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if Elizabeth would be okay. So I guess we just worked our magic that whole day. Elizabeth, I told her that, you know, Alec is someone who's not really too keen on the other Goliaths. And if you work on him a little bit, I didn't even believe it at this point. I said, if you work on him a little bit, then maybe, you know, we could get him to flip. And she did it. She went over there, she talked to him, and then Alec came back and talked to me some more in the hammock. And I played on his mind about, you know, seeing if he trusted the girls of his Goliath tribe. And when he gave me that flat out no, I knew we had something that we could do.
Because it's interesting when you swap and you're down in the numbers of the idea of, you know, you're sort of faced with this decision of, do we immediately flip? And we saw the people that were swapped to Vokai have to make the decision of, do we go to rocks or do we flip, which was different than what you were potentially faced with. And we saw Aaron and Missy very quick to say, oh, we're definitely flipping. We're not going to rocks for Elaine or for Elizabeth. But then things completely shifted around once Elaine had that vote steal to be able to then say, OK, well, now we have a shot at this. Were you surprised that Aaron hedged as much as he did to go back and forth and didn't immediately jump back on with original Lyra?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I think Aaron seems to be a good player, and he's trying to find his footing in the game. You know, you can't win Survivor unless you have relationships with both tribes, or, well, whenever that becomes one tribe, you need relationships with everyone. And that's another reason that I kind of like the two tribe swap versus the three tribe swap, because it seems like it's more likely that the tribes will be even and you have the chance to go to rocks. And I like watching when it's an option to go to rocks. I don't like playing when there's an option to go to rocks, because that's nerve wracking as hell. But that's another reason that I like that scenario there.
Do you feel like, were we robbed the opportunity to watch the survivors go to rocks? It seemed like that the way that this was set up, that either Elaine was going to come back with a vote block or Elaine was going to lose her vote. So no matter what, that we had this 4-4 and we had this potentially interesting situation where we're going to see a tie. And then basically the show took that away from it. Was that a less interesting outcome?
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't want to say it was a less interesting outcome, because I'm almost certain that if the option to go to rocks would have came up, that Missy and Aaron wouldn't have been about that life.
that's very true.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it panned out the way that it I think it panned out the best way for it to pan out, because Missy and Aaron were not trying to go to rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that Aaron ended up going too far with how much he was telling everybody that he was still going to be on board with? I mean, that those guys were going to turn out to vote for him anyway. Do you feel like that he ends up with the most blood on his hands because of, you know, how far down the road he took it that I'm going to vote with you guys and then ultimately lied to them?
Yeah, he definitely ended up with a lot of blood. That's why I said he's going to be the one that needs to do the most damage control. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing about Survivor is, just like Jason told you, they were going to gun for Aaron.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even know that in the back of his mind. He's feeling doubtful that he betrayed Tommy and betrayed Lauren and Dan. Oh.
Yeah.
Is it Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's feeling like he betrayed them, but in the back of their minds, they're like, oh, wow, we were going to get rid of this dude anyway. So it worked out, I guess. Well, it didn't work out, but hey, if he wants to come groveling to us to make us feel like he didn't flip or make us feel a little bit better about the decision that he made, then we're just in a great situation.
Yeah. I feel like Aaron is in a lot of trouble. I saw Dominic Abate, who, you know, I trust his opinion quite a bit on things. He tweeted earlier today. yeah, and happy birthday to Dominic Abate. But he tweeted, I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but basically he tweeted, is Aaron the winner of the season? I feel like that Aaron's going in the complete opposite direction, where I feel like that Lyro doesn't love him now, or they didn't love him from the beginning. And now you know, a bunch of people on Vokai are mad at him. He doesn't have a ton of allies really outside of Missy. I feel like that he could be one of the next couple of boots. Where do you think this goes for Aaron?
I don't feel like he's one of the next couple of boots. And Rob, I'm going to say this about podcasts. I don't want you to take offense, but podcasts and forums have kind of trained my mind to look at the edit, which I hate.
Yes. Okay.
And I feel like they have given Aaron enough depth to his character that they played enough trickery with his edit that I think he's going to be around for a while. I think that he is just going to have to play that damage control to get back and get sights with old Vokai.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. But I feel like, you know, I look for that stuff too, and I was surprised that Jason ended up going out last night based on his story.
They kind of made it. They really, really hammered it to us, thinking that it was going to be Elaine. So you're right. I mean, you think you know it, and then you don't.
Yeah. Sometimes they like to stay like one step ahead of us. Of like they know what we're expecting, right, and then rope-a-dope us on that stuff. So. Davey, I wanted to ask you about Elaine getting sent to the Island of the Idols. Now, should the players have been able to guess that Elaine was going to go to the Island of the Idols once they had her sit out of the challenge? Is that a fair thing that the players should have been prepared for, to send maybe somebody else to sit out of the challenge?
No, I mean, I can't. Remember that I don't think they did that before this season, correct?
No. Well, what they've done is like what happened to Carl, where it's like, okay, everybody, you know, pick a buff. Okay. Oh, you got a different color buff, or you didn't get picked. So you go and do stuff. They've never done it where, okay, you're the person who's sitting out, so you have to do that. But I kind of feel like that if the players thought about it for a minute of how is the next person going to get picked to go to the Island of the Idols, like I feel like that would not have been too much of a stretch to come up with that. And I wonder, maybe, do you think about if a person is on a future season with you know, somebody getting sent to a ghost island, an Island of the Idols, because Elaine was kind of a bad person to have go to the Island of the Idols in that 4-4 split. I wonder if Vokai should have maybe said, okay, because they had Lauren sit out of the later challenge, push for Lauren to sit out of the first challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, they're putting on the castaways are putting on like they don't know if Island of the Idols is a good or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe they did think about that, and maybe they thought that Island of the Idols is a bad thing. And they did think about that, and that's why they decided to sit Elaine out. So you never know.
Right. Yeah, so it seems like there's been no sort of concrete evidence from anybody if it's good or bad. Like we've seen people lose their vote, but nobody knows that they lost their vote. Like nobody knew Nora lost her vote. Nobody knew when Elizabeth lost her vote, because they both were on sort of like the right side of a lopsided vote. And then we saw, you know, some like Vince had an idol, but he went home with it in his pocket. Kelly had an idol. She never showed anybody. And so Elaine is the first person to come back with something tangible from the Island of the Idols.
Right. And when she came back and told Elizabeth, that's when, and I want to commend Elizabeth for that. She did that perfectly. Like when Elaine came back and revealed that, you know, she, what went on at Island of the Idols, Elizabeth was like, oh, thank God. Now I can tell you. That's the right way to go about that situation, dear. So I want to commend her there.
Yeah, no, look, I think Elizabeth is playing really well in the game. And I also liked, I saw a couple of people comment about this on social media as well, about how the way she handled where, okay, Elaine's like, okay, I think I'm going to go tell you know, the Missy and Aaron about what's going on. She's like, okay, you tell them, and then sort of like, you let me know how it goes.
Right.
So that was good. Yeah. That was good. Elizabeth's not putting herself out there too much in terms of everything that's going on. So do you think, this was a question we talked about last night, could we see the Lyro 4 that got Jason out of the game? Should they throw a challenge to get another Vokai person out?
I think they should, but yeah. I don't think that they will. And I'll tell you why I don't think that they will.
Why?
It's something, man. It's something about athletes, man.
Yeah.
They can't throw those challenges on Survivor. Like, they have that. I mean, you know, I barely know much about sports. So if someone approached me about throwing a challenge, I'm like, okay. But they've got some type of sportsmanship in the back of their, like, I don't know if that's the correct word for it, but mm-hmm. they cannot just be that sports person. They can't, they don't like losing.
They can't and lose.
They just can't lose. And I don't see Missy or Aaron, and then freaking Elizabeth is a damn, what is she, an Olympian? I don't see them throwing a challenge, but that would be smart. But then again, remember what Missy said, old Lyro is dead.
Yeah.
Screw the orange. So
maybe she's back on board, because I remember this is something that I asked you about after your season of how come when you guys were the one place where there were more Davids, why didn't you guys throw challenges then to get rid of, you know, Alec and Kara and give you guys a chance to get the numbers? Yeah. And what was the issue? Cebu didn't want to throw challenges, right?
Yeah, the issue is the deeper issue is that Carl and Elizabeth really didn't get along. So,
yeah, I remember that.
Elizabeth did bring up that that option, and of course I entertained it for a great deal of time, and then when we brought it to Carl and he shut it down so hard so fast, and keep in mind Carl's my boy, but at Swap, you know, I still was kind of reading him. I didn't know whether he was a longtime fan of the game or if he was a recruit of the game. And I feel like your recruits are more, would be less likely to throw a challenge than a fan of the game. So I didn't know. I was still too nervous to tell. So I just decided to play it safe and talk with Elizabeth and talk with Carl and let them know, let's just play it safe and think about us right now. Mm-hmm. Let's survive the swap together, and we'll think about all of that once we make merge.
So, David, do you have any thoughts on how this is going to go next week? I'm assuming we're not going to have a merge coming up from next week. And but you know, forget the preview. When they had Elaine pick out a name out of the hat from the other tribe, I feel like that they were definitely going to have one more week before we get to the merge. So how do you see this playing out next time?
Well, Elaine had to pick a name out of a hat. And if she's smart, which we know she's smart now, mm-hmm. sorry, Lauren, she definitely probably sent one of the old Lyro to Island of the Idols, because I hope I'm saying the correct tribe.
Yeah.
She definitely sent someone from her old tribe to Island of the Idols because she knows there's an opportunity for them to get the idols, and then their numbers advantage would be.
But I think that they did. She just picks the name out of the hat. I think it's random thing.
And
they don't tell us. But Rob said, okay, all right, now you can pick who's going from the other tribe.
Great, Rob.
thank you. Thank you.
Run it again.
So she just picked somebody randomly from the other side. So I think the only people that are on that tribe, I think it's only Karishma and Dean from her old tribe that are over there.
Oh, wow. That's right. Because Tom was the one that went home last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing that is just going to be happenstance. Yeah. I mean, if I was them, I would hope that it would be someone from my old tribe, but if it's someone from a new tribe, and then, you know, Island of the Idols has a whole nother element to it too. You know, you never know. You may get over there and Rob says, by the time I run from this pole to that pole, you need to make a decision, and the person doesn't make the decision, and then something crazy happens. I don't know. I can't put my finger on Island of the Idols because I feel like the producers gave Rob and Sandra just freedom, and they do what they want.
They do what they want to do. So you had the opportunity to go play a game in David versus Goliath. You end up finding the opportunity where what was it that you had to do? Was it just guessing where the idol was?
The thing was. The trick to the game was if I guessed I had four pots in front of me. If I guessed the right pot, then my idol would become stronger.
Okay.
And it had two rows of pots. So I just decided not to play the game because I wanted to send my buddy Nick home that day. I needed my vote.
but you turned down the opportunity to play a game, which we really have not seen so far in this season. Do you feel like that if Rob and Sandra were standing there and it wasn't just you reading a note, do you feel like that you would have still made the same decision?
In pre-merge, maybe I would have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm still fresh from America, still fresh from watching a lot of Survivor and still a fresh fan of the game. Towards the end of the game, you're beat, man. You process things a little more. You think about what if a lot. I love the montage that they did of me because I was speaking out loud about him. Blah, 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 blah. And I think that in the beginning of the game, maybe if I felt a little sense of security, I wouldn't have. But at the end, I would have. But at the end of the game, I would have said, screw you guys.
Okay. So you would have been a little more, hey, I'm doing what I want at the end of the game. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you think that we might see that same sensibility in the players as we get further into the game? Do you think that when we get to like day 27, day 30, people are going to tell Rob and Sandra, thanks, but no thanks?
Yeah, definitely. Especially now that the cat is kind of out of the bag on Island of the Idols. I mean, you put two and two together. Elaine went to Island of the Idols. Elaine played her Steal a Vote. People are definitely going to want to go to the Island of the Idols now, but actually, I don't know, because then maybe they're thinking that Elaine played a game over there and that's how she got her Steal a Boat. So, that's something to think about, Rob.
Davey, what'd you think of the shelter that Boston Rob has been working on at the Island of the Idols?
I'm not buying it that he built that by himself. I'm sorry. Even if Sandra helped him, there's no
way. There's two of them.
There's no way.
What do you mean, Davey?
How is that possible? No, man. There's no way, dude. Some of those cameramen, I'm sorry.
Davey, you're just saying that because Pat got medevaced after 3 days. You don't know what Pat could have done with a construction background.
There is no way. I'm sorry, dude.
Are you sure?
I am positive. There is absolutely. Does it have like two stories?
Two stories.
No, man. That's impossible.
It's pretty strong. I don't know.
There's no way, man. Unless when they have someone coming from the Island of the Idols and that's the footage we're not seeing, that the third person is helping, there's no way, man.
I don't know, Davey. I think that's it's coming together.
I can't wait for it to be done.
Hey, we might come back next time and there could be four stories.
We might come back next time and there'll be an elevator, right?
The tallest building in Fiji.
Oh man, Rob, speaking of Fiji, you know I went on my vacation 2 weeks back.
Yeah, oh no, I didn't know that you went so recently. How was it? Because you guys have the Fiji Airlines, right? They give you the ticket where you can come back, right?
Yeah, so Fiji was generous enough to they gave all of the mergers one ticket and all of the pre-mergers two tickets. And
could you say that again? So you got one ticket, but the pre-merge people got two?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, because they feel bad because they got voted out early.
Okay, maybe that's it. I don't know. But one of my castaways, I won't say who because he or she told me not to.
Okay.
But they gave me their extra ticket.
Okay.
And I was able to take a few of my friends out there. Well, I say a few, like I had so many other tickets.
Yeah.
But a few of my friends did pay for their tickets. And we just had a great time, man. I got to.
What did you do?
I got to visit the islands, not the islands that I lived on,
yeah.
But I think they have those sectioned off, but we stayed at the resort. I actually got to get into tribal wear with some of the locals that were there and do a lighting torch ceremony. And, you know, that was me being at home and wanting to cosplay.
Yeah.
I got to visit the islands. I got some nice massages here and there. It was a good time.
Because I talk to people that made that trip to. I feel like that almost every survivor makes the pilgrimage back to Fiji after they play. And people say like, oh yeah, I went to Ponderosa. I was like, what do you mean you went to Ponderosa? Yeah, I went. And I hung out with the people that work there.
Yeah. I think I may have done that if I was by myself, but because I didn't want to go all survivor on them, you know. everyone goes back and they like to partake, except for Nick and Carl, because they went to Australia on their trip. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I want to talk about the other tribe and what's going on over there a little bit. We didn't really get to see too much from the other tribe. We talked about how they jammed a lot in this episode, but there was a couple of people like we didn't see any Janet or Karishma, hardly any Dean in this episode. So we couldn't you can't have it all. Get to everybody in this episode. But the one thing that we saw a lot of in the episode was between Jack and Jamal, and I thought that was really amazing to have in the episode, the conversation that ended up coming out of that. Jack put his foot in his mouth, and then we saw Jamal, who was obviously hurt by what Jack said. And while on a lot of reality shows, I think that we would have either seen this turn into a fight or to turn into something that got very ugly, I thought that we had a really nice story which ended up unfolding between Jack and Jamal, who was very gracious, and then Jack, who really felt horrible about the whole thing. My question that I want to ask you, Davey, is that do you feel like that the Jack and Jamal scene was something that was unique to this season, or what was unique about it was that Survivor showed us the moment like this?
I think definitely the latter. I know we've heard tell of moments like this on other seasons, but we haven't been able to see them. And I want to commend first the producers for putting that moment in there, because it's a moment that America needs to see. It's a moment that if America sees it, that change will happen. And I thought it was executed beautifully how they did it. Next, I want to commend Jamal, and I want to commend Jack as well, because Jamal, he kept his calm explaining it to Jack, and Jack received all of the information that Jamal gave him. It was like, I wonder if maybe it's because they're out on an island and they're playing a game and they know they can't have enemies. Like, I'm not sure if it would have went that well back at home in America, but it should have. We should get to that moment in America where if you say something that is I don't even want to say derogatory, but if you say something that is discomforting to another individual, you sit down with that person and you guys discuss what went wrong. You try to figure out, you know, what you did in the situation to perturb them. You listen, you receive it, and then you make those changes. I thought it was executed great by all parties.
Yeah, it was such an interesting moment to have play out on the show because, you know, and Jamal mentioned this in an episode, you know, this was still a game where, you know, and you make an interesting point about how in on the one hand where, you know, that Jack is probably more inclined to hear him out because of like, well, now I've really, you know, I'm going to make an even bigger enemy if I don't hear this out. But yeah, for Jamal, you know, it was a very brave thing to then, you know, continue to have that conversation because, you know, that you could make the argument that, oh, strategically, you know, Jamal should just let that go and not, you know, not turn it into a bigger conversation because don't forget, you're still playing this social strategy game.
Absolutely. And, so I want to take some time to just speak about when I was on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
And I want to think carefully with my words because there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people don't understand, you know, what exactly happened. People are now thinking that the word durag is racist, which it's not. People are now just afraid to talk about durags at all. So the... and I don't want to speak for Jamal, but what I saw was he was on Jack was on a tribe with a black guy and he saw a commonality in the buff and a durag and black people wear durags. And he jokingly didn't even seem like there was any malice in his heart to it, but jokingly maybe trying to even relate to Jamal said, hey, go grab that durag. And it was offensive because he wouldn't have said that to anyone else on that tribe. I think you got to be very careful, especially in this day and age, what you say and the context that it's the context that it's delivered. And that's why I say it was so beautiful how Jamal pulled him aside to explain that. I mean, listen, there's still things that I'm learning as a black man when it comes to women, when it comes to the LGBT community, when it comes to disabled individuals. I'll even speak about a personal thing that happened to me. You know, I know Rob doesn't still follow The Walking Dead, but...
So it's a cheap shot, Davey. I'm gonna binge it.
Okay, well, spoiler alert. This season of The Walking Dead, they have hearing impaired individuals in the show. And I believe I either tweeted or Instagrammed. I was like, oh my gosh, she's deaf. And deaf is not even the correct word that you should be using when discussing disabled individuals like that. It's hearing impaired. So like I'm saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. We all have things that we need to learn about other minority groups, other disproportionate groups. And it's going to take some time. And I do regret Twitter. I was loving what my timeline was saying last night. Everyone was receiving what Jamal was saying. Everyone was retweeting it. Everyone was loving it. And then I made the big mistake of Twitter searching survivor and durag.
Right. Right.
And everyone else was just hating it. So for those that listen to the podcast that were confused, I hope I was able to clear up. It's not the fact that Jack said the word durag, but it's the fact that he said it to Jason and he wouldn't have, he said it to Jamal and he wouldn't have said it to anyone else on that tribe.
Yeah. I just thought that Jamal had, you know, so much compassion also to then, you know, talk everything through with Jack and then just not be like, okay, well, now I'm done with him or, you know, even like with us to camera, say like, okay, I listened to him, I accepted his apology, but I'm, you know, he's dead to me. I'm gonna yeah. vote him out. There was forgiveness on the part of Jamal, and there was an apology that felt heartfelt from Jack. And I just feel like that there's so much of that that we can take into the real world where, look, people say dumb things.
This is like somewhere in between podcasts, you know, between 3,000 and 4,000 for me. I'm sure I've said dumb things. If I've said anything dumb, or one day I say something dumb, I should hope that somebody tells me, hey, that you said the wrong thing. You offended me. And, you know, I would be, oh my God, I didn't mean it to offend you like that. And then to have somebody say like, okay, well, like, let me tell you, like, it doesn't make it okay, but let me explain to you why. It's like, oh my God, I'm so stupid.
That's how change happens. And that's why it was such an outer body moment for me watching on the couch, because I'm like, whoa, millions of people are seeing this. This is the perfect example of how you treat one another, how you listen, how you learn. I'm going to have to give another personal example. And just to tell everyone that I don't know everything. Like, I think we were in New Orleans and Gabby from my season was with me, and I may have referred to women as females, and Gabby said females. So I didn't understand how that could be derogatory until she pulled me aside. She explained it to me, and now I no longer speak that way when it comes to that. So it's just, you have to.
Boy, I gotta write this down, Davey. I didn't even know that one.
Yeah, man. You have to be willing to learn, and you have to be willing to listen. That's the only way that we can push forward.
And I just think that it speaks to Survivor, and one of the reasons why, look, we know a million complaints about Survivor, all the things, too many idols, is this, is that. But that something like that we got last night, just being such a authentic, real moment, is the kind of thing where that you can't get that from, you know, a scripted TV show. And I think that Survivor might be, you know, one of the few shows where you could have some sort of a moment like that. God knows you don't get it on Big Brother.
I was just about throwing a tag. They can learn a thing or two.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really incredible. And I'm really glad that we got to see that take place on the show. Davey, I have a lot of questions for you from the listeners that I want to get into. And we can also take questions here. We're live on YouTube. We can take questions from you guys as well, where people can go ahead and bring your questions right into the chat. Just like, here's Blade Blur, who says, love me some Davey Rickenbacker. Didn't spell the name right, but got it close.
Didn't spell it right, but you love me, so I'll let it slide.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's see. Let's get to some questions. How about David Healy wants to know from you, Davey, do you think it was a bad decision for Elaine to block the vote of the person that they were targeting? If old Vokai had an idol, wouldn't that have set off a red flag that Jason was the target and they might have played it on him? Wouldn't it be safer to block the vote of somebody else to make the real target less obvious? Now, you guys in David versus Goliath had this similar sort of issue about, right, who you were going to put the votes on. You were able to take away somebody's vote. I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, because I get all, when you guys played all the advantages mixed up, but it was that it was Allison's vote got taken away by Nick.
Yes.
But then you put the votes on Dan, correct?
Correct. And Nick did that because he really just didn't trust Allison, and he knew how frail she was and that it would rattle her.
Mm-hmm.
To Derek's question, or David?
Yeah, David Healy, yeah.
To David's question, I agree with him. I think that they probably should have, you know, made it seem like, you know, they were stealing Jason's vote and Jason was the target and gone for somebody else. I mean, the two, like I said, the two most threatening of those four seem to be Tommy and Jason. So if they're going to block Jason's vote, they should have went with Tommy. If they were going to block Tommy's vote, they should have went with Jason. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Rob in the booth was like, hey, just because they took his vote doesn't mean he's the mark. But he was the mark. So maybe that was good misdirection because they tricked Boston Rob. He's like, oh, they're not voting for him if they took his vote away.
Can I ask this question, Rob? I don't know if that's jumping ahead. Do you think that Rob and Sandra will have a vote in the end?
That's a good question. I know that that has been talked about a lot. It would be a lot of votes, don't you think? Unless we're going to have a smaller jury.
It was a lot of votes.
I guess so. Yeah. How many votes was it last? Yeah, I guess it was 13 votes last season. So, yeah. I guess if you start to have so many votes, I guess a couple more doesn't really count. It doesn't matter that much. But if I had to guess right now, I would say no, but I do see them being a part of the final tribal council. What do you think, Davey?
I think that if they do have a vote, it's going to send the Survivor fandom into a mayhem.
If it's close. I think if it's close. I think it depends on who the winner is going to be.
It always depends on the winner.
Let's take a question from YouTube. Blade Blur, with Jason's boot, how do you think it'll affect Karishma or Dean coming into the merge? Do you think that that will have any effect on the people that are on the bottom at Lero?
Okay, I need to think about Karishma and Dean were on Lero with...
Well, if I could start, then I would say that I think that right now, it looked like that as of last week, Orange was dead. Everybody was saying like, hey, Orange is dead. There's no chance. But now with Jason out of the picture, I feel like there's an outside chance that we could see Orange come back together. And I feel like that would help them, even though they're not on the same page.
Yes. Okay. Now that just jogged my memory. So Karishma, they have not mended any fences with her yet. She still feels like she's on the outs. So it's easy to say that, you know, that will make their team stronger, but she's already feeling like not a part of that tribe. I mean, she cuts her finger and nobody even checked on her. So I still think Karishma's a wild card and she could flip over to Vokai at any moment. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that the tribes are so fractured where...
And Dean as well, you know, because, you know, they voted his girlfriend out. So you never know, man.
Well, yeah, both Karishma and Dean, they both were blindsided. They both don't love the original Lyro, but they, you know, don't seem to really love each other. You have Jamal, who also doesn't seem to love the original Vokai. So it does feel like that we're going to have a somewhat fluid situation, although there are a lot of people from the old Vokai who could end up getting back together.
Sure.
So you got to watch out for that. It's like that all the people that have issues with each other, I think they need to, you know, patch up those differences. They need to, you know, get things worked out with Dean and Karishma, potentially pick up Jamal as well. If he's somebody who wants to go after people like Nora and he didn't love the, they might need Nora too. They got to get Nora on board.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, Rob, you know better than anyone, it's hard to recover from a blindside. I mean, the thing is, and not even a blindside, it's hard to recover from things that go on at camp, like, you know, our whole bed incident with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Carl was never able to come back from that. He really just could not stand Elizabeth after that. We could not sway him into letting him realize that this is a game. She's a number. We need her. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. I hope it works out for them, but I don't really see it.
working out too well.
Yeah, it's tough because you have like basically like there's like a big group with the people that are from Vokai with Tommy and with Lauren and with Janet and mm-hmm. the people that seem tightest with them. That's like it feels like there's a core, and Jason certainly was part of that core. Mm-hmm. But then it feels like there's a lot of misfits that don't necessarily all get along. And the misfits, if they stick together, they can make a run at this thing. Or if they fight with each other, they're going to lose.
Yeah, doesn't look too good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. This is a question that I've been getting all day from one of our listeners, Davey. And so this is from Brandon, who says, please, please, please ask Davey about lunch lady / custodian Denise. Brandon says he's not going to want to talk about it, but you need to make him.
God. Rob, I don't know if you'll allow me to talk about it.
Oh, no.
if you want to... I'll sugarcoat things. I can't give you guys the real deal, but basically, you know, on Survivor, after you play Survivor, you get invited to all of these different charity events.
Yes.
And this one charity event, I won't say which charity event it is, but we all bumped in a they had like 50 beds there for the survivors.
Yes.
And so we were rooming. It was basically like being at camp with some past survivors.
Yes.
And there was a room that was reserved for myself, Carl, Nick, and Grizel, Nick's fiance.
Yes.
And when I arrived there, Denise had my bed. And so... of course, me being the person that I am, I thought that the bed was reserved for me. I didn't know it was Denise's stuff that was on the bed, so I moved it. And let's just say in the middle of the night, she wasn't happy and things happened.
Okay. All right. Are you in a feud with lunch lady / custodian Denise?
We made up that next day. I will also add that she was a little drunk. So whatever words
I can't imagine that, Davey.
Yes. And this just so happens to be Friday the 13th. So it was a lot of weird stuff going on that night.
I bet.
You know how those events.
Oh, I know. And we had Denise with us. We did our live show in Boston last year, and she was a real character that night. I just remember her, like, as we were doing the show, the Bruins were in the playoffs, and she was just like in the middle of like the podcast, just like shouting out like Bruins updates, like, "Hey everybody! Bruins 5, Maple Leafs 3!" Like, in just the middle of... she was in, like, a Bruins jersey.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
she's a character.
There's alcohol involved. I believe it.
Davey, do you visit the local Applebee's? Are you an Applebee's guy?
Club Applebee's.
Club,
man.
Applebee's. You
know, that's what we call it back at home, because no one goes there for the food, but even at home they have a DJ. They'll have live parties there.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not just at home. They do it some places in Atlanta. They do it some places. It may be taking the world by storm. So keep that in mind, Rob. You may have to check a club Applebee's out soon. I do like their cheese sticks, though.
Yeah. I'd go out there, and maybe Applebee's could be the club that I could hang out at. Club Applebee's.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Like, dip my toe in.
Yeah. Right.
That would be a good move. Okay, this is a question that we got emailed from Megan. Robin Davey. Robin Steven mentioned on the know-it-alls that Aaron played his hand wrong on both sides. I really think he did. Why screw over the other side at the last minute and not tell them? If he really wanted to keep Tommy's trust, he could have told him about the advantage and invited Tommy to vote on his side. I think he made people angry for no reason. What do you think? So would that have been a move for Aaron to tell Tommy what was up?
Yeah, she brings up a great point. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, he seemed like he built such trust with Tommy, speaking to Tommy about his son, and Tommy would definitely be a great ally along the way. So, yeah, you run the risk of telling Tommy something and then Tommy going back and trying to protect his tribe. And he's only met Tommy for about a day or so. So if I was in Aaron's shoes, I probably would have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. But going back on it after the season, I probably would have been like, maybe I could have done it this way. And me and Tommy could have grown a stronger bond. The thing about Aaron at Tribal, though, like he just kept telling them, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. And
yeah,
that just, like, I think Jason even put his fist out at one point and Aaron just ignored it. At that point, you got to know you're in some deep shit. You're going to be saying some apologies the next day.
You know, just thinking it through, do you feel like were Missy and Aaron too eager to flip to the other side? Should they have just slow played this a little bit, or did they then open themselves up to the risk that, oh, well, maybe what if Elaine or Elizabeth says they're going to flip first? Like, are you incentivized to then go, you know, flip as fast as you can, or should you slow it down? Because Survivor is so crazy with all these advantages, Davey, that you don't know what somebody could, they could find an idol, there could be an advantage, there could be another twist.
I missed the initial part of that because I'm reading a chat and they're still talking about Denise, but
they're still talking about Denise. She's real pissed off, it was saying in the chat. So Davey, are you incentivized to try to set into motion for Missy and Aaron as fast as they did? Hey, we're ready to flip. We're gonna go with you guys. Or should you play it a little slower because you don't know what advantages are gonna end up being out there? Because on Survivor, it seems like that there's, you know, a new advantage pops up every week.
Yeah, that's that fear of the unknown. With the season titled Island of the Idols, I think I probably would have gone with the latter option and just kind of sat back and figured things out rather than just jumping at it and going that way. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. wants to know, Davey, which player from the season would make the best cosplay? Do you have anybody in mind? Do you see anybody that has like a unique look that you feel like would be a good cosplay subject?
I'm going to say Tommy, and I'm not going to say it because of his look. It's Tommy's energy. Like, I know, like, I can see his, like, I can read people's social media and know what type of person they are. And Tommy is that type. Like, he's the guy that will go balls to the wall and show up in a blue shark to a party. I can just sense that from his tweets.
A blue shark or a shark ball?
That's it. A shark bowl to a party. I think it would be Tommy. And I'm not just saying that because he said that he would play most like me in his pre-press.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say Tommy.
Yeah. So when a player mentions you in their bio, what's that like, Davey?
Oh my gosh, man, it was a great feeling. Like, we still have this David versus Goliath group chat, and Nick came in and he was like, well, so far, the people mentioned are Kara and Davey and Christian, who people would play like. It felt good, man. I'm a newbie. I still got sand behind my ears. People want to play like me? Oh, my gosh, man. It's very flattering. But I'm not going to be biased. I don't have any favorites in the season, but I'm rooting for Tommy. I am rooting for a lot of them.
Okay. All right. This is a question from Team Paul 17. Could this have inadvertently helped Aaron? He's the typical merge boot, but socially took a big hit this week. He could be drawing dead in some people's eyes. Who might just keep him around? So is this possible where Now, is Aaron beat up a little bit? And this was something I feel like that this really helped Angelina in your season, where she took a lot of hits in the early merge, where that she was somebody who I think that, you know, came in a pretty good position. And then sort of that she was the, you know, victim of a couple of the blindsides. Like, they almost got her a couple of times. Then there was all the stuff with the rice. And then at some point it sort of shifted and like, okay, well, let's, you know, now let's not get rid of her. Now there's other targets that are bigger. Do you think could this help Aaron? That's sort of a counterintuitive thinking from Paul.
I don't think it's going to help Aaron. I don't think it's going to help him. Mainly because, I mean, he's kind of a challenge threat too. So oh, yeah. You got to consider that. I mean,
how good was he with the slingshot? It's
like right. Yeah. He basically won that challenge for. Wait. Who won that challenge?
Yeah, they won.
Yeah. He basically won that challenge for them.
He couldn't sink the glass basket. He was no Davey when it came to making baskets.
Please, not at all. Oh my gosh. But
I remember that during your season.
Yeah, man. I'm really embarrassed whenever it comes any kind of sports talk, because I really don't think I'm anything close to an athlete.
But that's what you talked about in your season, why it meant a lot to you to be able to win the basketball challenge.
It's true. And as soon as I got home, my friends made sure to let me know that I'm not an athlete. But yeah, I felt like one that day.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice to have that. Okay. Let's take another question. Let's see. Got some crazy ones. This is from Max M. If Davey was chosen to be the, one of the mentors on another season, and you got to pick the other mentor, who would you pick, Davey?
Oh, man. Wow, that's an amazing question.
Who should be the other person there with you with the 24-foot statue?
I'm not going to pick someone just based on me having a good time with them.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, man, I'm stumped on this. It's going to have to be a woman.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be someone who has gone. That's who I'll say. Angelina.
Well, that would be fun.
That'd be really fun. We'd be able to have a lot of fun with whoever comes to the Island of the Idols, climbing ladders, telling them schemes on how to get tribe on your side with rice and all of those things. Yeah, I'd say Angelina. Yeah.
Because you looked at everybody made fun when Angelina said, like, oh, I'm going to have a lowball offer in this negotiation. But Rob and Sandra have talked a lot about this season about how, hey, everything is negotiable on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. So she would
be good, I think.
she'd be so great. You don't even know, man. She's great.
Yeah. We haven't talked too much about Nora. I just would love to get your take, Davey, on what it would be like to be out there with Nora.
Nora is the type of person that I would have so much fun with.
Yeah.
Because I would be like maybe pranking her here and there, like following her up. And, you know, a lot of the people on the Goliath tribe and people who were on a tribe with Natalie would always tell me how hard it was living with her. It's the same with her. I think I would have been great with Natalie because I would have made fun with it. That's those type of people. You just got to, man, they just want to live. They just want to, you know, just have some fun with it. And Nora's going to be great.
Yeah, I think I would too. I you know, I love all the like quirky oddballs. I feel like that there's you're so bored. You're so bored out there that it's like there's a nonstop entertainment with a Nora. I'm worried about her in the game though, Davey. I feel like
that. Oh yeah.
I thought she had a bad night in terms of, you know, like you know, you know, the kookiness aside, that I, so she tries to recruit Dean and saying like, hey, Dean, I know you're on the outs, but we're thinking about getting rid of Jamal. So get on board and we could take Jamal out. And what does Dean do? Goes right back and tells Jamal. I feel like, and Jamal's like, see, this is what I'm talking about. She, you know, yeah. She's I'm glad you saw it because she's crazy. We need to get rid of Nora.
Yeah, Nora, you jumped the gun a little bit. I mean, you've only been with this guy for a little bit, for a few days. I don't know if you can trust him as much as you think you can trust him. You should probably sit back and observe for a little bit. Still be yourself, but don't go, you know, trying to plant any blind sides on the other tribe right now. Play it safe. You're only in swap.
I just think that Nora is like behind the times, that she's still playing like, oh, Molly and Jamal are running everything. They're the people we got to get them out. And it's like Jamal doesn't really have a lot of power in the game. That's a wasted move right now for Nora, who's on the outs, to go. She needs to work with Jamal.
Yeah, that seems a little bit like she might be playing based on emotion rather than strategy. The burn of a blindside is still, you know, the fact that she was not blindside, but the fact that Jamal was gunning for her, it probably just left a very nasty taste in her mouth. And I think it seems a little more personal than strategic.
Yeah. Okay. Let's ask you this question from Brian Kobick wants to know, Davey, who from your season and this season would be best equipped to survive in the zombie apocalyptic world? Who would be the first to die? Now, we know that Davey is counting down for the apocalypse.
You know, me being out here, I already feel like I'm a part of an apocalypse, which is my other dream.
Oh, my God. I love reading the forums after that episode. I think the most equipped from my season would be Elizabeth, man.
Yeah, that she'd be ready to go.
There, dude. She's ready for anything when it comes to physicality. Yeah. Like, she would be so great. I think the first one to go from my season probably would either be Jessica or Natalie.
Yeah.
Jessica kind of has these panic attacks a lot, and I can see a zombie coming for her and her just losing it. And then Natalie, she probably wouldn't even realize the person was a zombie at first. So, yeah, those two. As far as this season goes...
Yeah, Christian would be good, I think, to keep around also. He's kind of like a Eugene where he could be like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christian would be so great.
I built a generator.
Around.
Yeah.
Yes, Christian would be so great. Me and Christian talked for about 12 hours one night about great zombie films, but that's a whole other story. Mm-hmm. As far as this season goes, I think the best equipped would be Missy. I think she's got that same spirit. She's got the same spirit that Elizabeth has, that go-getter, that ready to jump at anything. I think she'd be really good. The worst person is obviously going to be Charisma. Sorry.
Yeah, Charisma, yeah.
She would be great for a horror film though, because she's the person you like to yell at.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It'll be like a night out at Applebee's for the zombies. They get Charisma, and then they can bite her hand, and nobody goes and go looks to see how she's doing. You know, who I think might be underrated is Elaine. I feel like Elaine might do okay.
Oh my gosh! So
what, you think I'm worried about zombie apocalypse? You know, whatever.
I'm gonna tell you something about Elaine. It took her a while to sell me, Rob.
Yeah.
Something you may not know about me is I'm a freaking jealous friend, and she's from where Nick is from.
Oh.
And Nick would just go on and on and on about Elaine, and I'm like, who is this Elaine lady?
Yeah.
So it took me a while, but after last night, I'm like, okay, I'm team Elaine. Elaine would do amazing.
You're worried that Elaine is going to be best friends with Nick Wilson.
Yes. I don't like my friends getting new friends before I can approve them.
I understand how that is, Davey.
Yeah, no, Elaine's great. I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really funny too, where she's like, well, me, I'm just like, you know, a little busted can of biscuits. You know. Yeah, she was funny. And I really enjoyed her having to, you know, find the advantage in the,
oh my
in the challenge.
God, dude. One yeah. of these days, Rob, one of these days, someone is going to get caught.
I can't wait. I thought she was going to get caught when she dropped it on the floor.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How would that conversation go? I could just see Jeff instigating it now. My God.
Well, the thing is, though, that even if she got busted, when she's like, what are you going to do? I got a thing. I got to cancel a vote. Well, I got to.
Right.
Yeah.
She would have been able to weasel her way out of that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it wouldn't matter though. It's not because the thing was, if it was an idol, it's like, all right, well, all right, well, then don't put it now. Don't put it on a lane. But you know, she basically could take away. You know, it doesn't matter where they vote because they've only got three now. So, it's almost like that she didn't even have to hide what she was doing.
True. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. One other zombie question. Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. Muscle. Who's the Negan of the season? Is there a Negan?
Is there a Negan? I don't know. I don't know if we have a Negan yet. If he's asking who's the villain of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Missy's trying to be a villain. I can tell you that.
She seemed now. I know that Missy lives in the Atlanta area, and she seemed upset that that the show was portraying her as a villain. She posted that on Twitter. I didn't really get a villain edit for Missy last week. Do you think that she's come across as a villain?
Maybe I'm playing into her social media presence a little bit because she seems to have fallen into it now.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know what? Maybe I misspoke. You're right. The edit isn't really showing her as a villain to me, but.
She was like hard on Dean, but is Dean the hero? Dean, that's who we're rooting for, Detective Dean.
Oh, right. No, we're definitely not rooting for Dean. Okay, no. Season 39 does not have a villain yet.
Not yet.
One is arising soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, well, that's like The Walking Dead. There's always another villain around the corner. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. How about Laurel G wants to know, how cold was it to dress up as the specialist? Was that was it chilly?
It was not that cold in Atlanta that that day, but if you guys haven't noticed, I've already put on back all of my weight from the island that I lost. So I didn't stay long. I wanted to go and change because my whole stomach was exposed.
You were uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, I was a little uncomfortable. And I had the Philip, the specialist, tight pink underwear on too. So I was a little out of my element. So yeah, I didn't stay too long after that.
How did you arrive at the specialist? Were you just thinking about like what survivor could you do the costume of?
It just came to me. Like I kind of feel like in the survivor community, I have a lot of pressure now because I cosplay and I'm like, oh snap, I got to do something that they're going to talk about.
Yeah.
I can't just come in as Negan or Rick Grimes. I can't do that. It's got to be something survivor. So I thought about Jeff, but everyone does Jeff.
Yeah.
That would have been boring. And then I was like, oh my gosh, one of my favorite players of all time, the specialist, he was one of the best characters in this universe. Of course I'm going to go for him. And he actually has an actual costume. He's the only one I don't know what I'm going to do next year. Are there any other survivors who've done costumes? Yeah, I don't know. Philip is just that guy. Or Rupert.
Yes, Rupert's an easy one. That it was also the perfect timing because Philip, of course, played with Boston Rob.
Yeah.
And Philip was the one that actually he started talking about the BR rules, and then that's when Rob wrote the Boston Rob rule book, which, you know, we've heard about this season. So yeah, that a lot of this credit has to go to Philip talking up Boston Rob.
Yes. Like after I feel like Philip is a fan of me now that after I did that, because he called me and we talked for hours, and he definitely takes a little bit of that credit for that book.
He's a good talker, Philip. And so I saw pictures of you, and there was you had a Boston Rob with you. Who was the guy that was Boston Rob?
So I don't know the fan's name, but I've been throwing these parties. I got to give a shout out to Wendell, because during my season, Wendell went to school here in Atlanta. Yeah. And during my season, it was just so tough trying to find a venue, which we'll talk about later for 2020. It was so tough trying to find a venue, and he found this guy who has this hot dog shop that has so many TVs. So
yeah,
watch party after watch party after watch party, the word has gotten out and the fans have just been coming. So there was a fan there that came as Boston Rob, and his girlfriend or wife came as Sandra. And I was like, of course, let's take this picture, dude.
Yeah. Okay. So yes. I thought you guys coordinated that.
No, we didn't coordinate that at all. There were a lot of people dressed. We had some Sandras. We had a couple Sandras. We had Boston Rob. I think we had I'm forgetting it right now, but we had a lot of people that were there as survivors. So,
yeah.
I'm going to make that the one annual watch party that I do.
Yeah. Davey, my wife came to me the other day with an idea she's like, oh, I've got an idea for a Christmas card. What if she's like, I'll dress like Sandra and you dress like Boston Rob. And then we'll be like yelling at the kids, like to try to make a fire. It's like, I don't think so. I don't think so. Like, is it a video? I don't know how that's coming across in a picture.
Yeah.
Is this a graphic novel? Like, I don't understand, like, what in like one picture, like all of this is happening.
Yeah, maybe jot a couple more ideas down just in case. And then you guys pick for that one. Not shooting that one down, you know, I'm pretty sure it can be made happen with the right photographer, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess anything is, all things are possible. This is from Andrew, who says, Davey, the defeater of Slamtown, you're one of my favorites of all time. You were originally meant to be on the edge of extinction. After watching that season, how do you think you would have done? What's your opinion on that particular twist? Would you have voted for Chris at the end? Now, the edge of extinction is kind of like an apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. It was. I think the one thing that I might have done differently than the other players at Edge of Extinction is I would have been having fun with those guys, trying to get them to get off of Edge of Extinction and quit. But
You would have messed with them.
Yeah, I would have been messing with him all the while. Jeff said I was supposed to be on the edge of extinction. I think I would have fared well as long as I didn't get kicked out of the game. Meaning that, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Meaning that I suck at challenges. I don't think that up against all of those guys, getting back in the game would have been in my favor. Mm-hmm. I think I would have made some good relationships with the people there, the same way I kind of did, tried to do with the Goliaths on my tribe. I think I would have been able to do that with some of the EOE people. Now, as far as voting for the person at the end, I may make a lot of fans mad, but I think I would have voted for Chris. I think that he deserved that win. You know, he went balls to the wall and did that whole fire. He knew what he had to do in order to win the game. And I think up against the people that he was in the final three with, he was the one person I would have voted for.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I talked to a bunch of people from that season, and that's how they felt. Also, I don't think that they went into it feeling like that. Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna vote for somebody just because they come back from the edge of extinction. So, you know, I feel like that they also did up against like there would have been people that would have beaten Chris, but I think against who he was up against with Gavin yeah. and Julie, that they mm-hmm. they wanted they thought he did more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lost my train of thought there, but yeah, I agree.
Okay. The edge of extinction will do that to you. Okay. Lyric Thomas says, please play my favorite Davey soundbite. When he says back it up and it beeps like a truck, it's so underutilized, so much that I'm not even sure that it exists. And I didn't make it up. Now did Lyric make it up?
I think she's talking about, hold on, pump the brakes.
And I'm like, oh, hold on, pump the brakes.
What were you saying that about? Why were you telling people to pump the brakes?
I think this was the Elizabeth thing with the bed. Yeah, she, oh my gosh. That,
it's so funny that that was such a big moment.
Yeah, man, it was a kind of a defining moment, because that's the moment that we knew we couldn't get Carl and Elizabeth back up. Me and Elizabeth made up immediately. We hugged and everything, but Carl just doesn't like those know-it-alls.
No. Yeah. Bing. Right. Now, me, I don't know how he feels about Steven, but me and the Godfather are good. Okay. How was your trip to Vegas? I saw on your Instagram, I saw Godfather hanging out by the pool.
So that whole month was September, and my birthday is in September. So I was just going everywhere. And
yeah,
I think that Vegas, I've been to Vegas before, but that time was a blast. That will be the one event that I think I will go to every year.
Go back to Vegas.
They even had a freaking Super Smash Brothers tournament while yes. I was out there that I didn't get to play in because I couldn't make the second round in Bomberman, but that's another story. But yeah.
Is that your game, Super Smash Brothers?
Yo, Super Smash Bros. Is my game, Rob. Yeah. Like, I've got, I play some of the cameramen from the island here and there. We exchange Switch codes, and yeah. I that is my game. I main Pikachu. That's what you're going to ask me next.
Yeah, but, well, I was going to ask you that, have you ever played with Kenny, the King of Smash?
We have not been able to get it together because he's in Cali and I'm over here, but we have exchanged switch codes, and it's gonna happen soon. Hey, I mean, we may even
what's wrong with my guy Bowser?
I fool with Bowser too, but hey man, you never know, we may even me, him, PG, and all of the other gamers in the universe, maybe we'll get together and do a Twitch streaming event one day.
Oh, so people would love that.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Okay. David, do you have a winner pick for the season? You're rooting for Tommy.
I'm rooting for Tommy. I don't have a winner pick, but I'm rooting for Tommy, rooting for Missy, rooting for Aaron. Rooting for Nora, believe it or not. I feel like those are the characters that I'm liking the most. I won't say they're the characters that are playing the best game, mm-hmm. but those are the ones I want to see on my screen until the finale.
Yeah. Anything else that you want to say about the season that we didn't get to cover, Davey?
Gosh, man, the fact that they got the first Canadian player out of the game, man, are they gonna when I heard them saying they were going to start bringing Canadians into play, I thought they would have chosen more than just one Canadian. I mean, give them a fair shot.
Yeah, and one that was a hockey player.
Right, a superstar at that. Yeah. Are they going to continue giving us Canadians? Give them a fair shot. Okay, if you're listening, producers, give them another try.
Let me just give you a couple more questions from Facebook. Mm-hmm. Owen wants to know, were there any nerdy references that you made out there that you wish made the air? Was there anything that you used, like a reference or an analogy?
Yes, there was, and it's so ironic because you've already asked me this question. I made a reference about my entire tribe and how they would fare in the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I think I said that Gabby and Jessica would die immediately. This was very early on. I said that I would keep Christian to be my Eugene. I said that Carl would be my Herschel that I would go to for wisdom. Mm-hmm. And me and Nick would be out there as the Rick and Shane. And, you know, we did have a Rick and Shane moment in the game.
Yes.
I think that's the only reference that's coming to mind right now. Okay. But I'm pretty sure I had a lot of them. That's all me and Christian did was talk nerdy banter.
Yeah. Davey, you and I were messaging when I saw that before El Camino came out. What were you binging? All of Breaking Bad or just the final season of Breaking Bad?
I started on Ozymandias, which is the episode that Hank dies. And just because I wanted to get a feel of it before going in El Camino. And it delivered, but it wasn't really necessary.
Right. I hear you.
Yeah.
Frafa in the YouTube chat wants to know, does Davey stream on Twitch? Is that something that you normally do?
Streaming on Twitch is on my bucket list for 2020. I've got to get there, man. I've been getting equipment here and there. Last time I was here with you guys, Rob, I told you about the voice acting venture that I wanted to get into.
Okay.
And that's why I've been getting all of this equipment, because I'm going to start auditioning soon. I went through a course recently for voice acting, and I feel like I have a future in it. So keep me in your prayers. I think it's something that I could do well in.
So that's really interesting. How do you get involved with that?
I think I have an advantage because I live in a big city, and there's always things posted on Facebook about getting into voice acting. And I went to MomoCon. Have you heard of this con?
I know what Momo is. I don't like it.
Okay,
scary.
I don't think the two are related.
I know. I've seen the Momo challenge.
Okay, yeah. So,
right,
no,
scares kids on YouTube.
right. Yeah. I don't think it's related to that.
Oh, okay,
even though a few people did come to MomoCon dressed as Momo, but MomoCon is like a video game conference, and there was actually a job fair there, and I jumped out on my job. I left my job that day, just like I left my job that day to go apply for Survivor, and I was just going around to the booths, and there was a voice acting lessons booth, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, good luck with that. That's really exciting.
However, it's a very expensive hobby.
All right. Well, but if it, you know, pays off, it pays off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're into a lot of animation, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I love that stuff, man. And hey, you know, my buddy Mike White.
is he doing any cartoons?
Mike does have a new movie coming out in 2020. I think I can say this because it's on IMDb, but I can't call what the title of the movie on. But I will assure you this: it's not the Emoji Movie 2.
Yes, is it the Momo movie?
It's not the Momo movie.
All right. Well, should I review it or should I not review it? Would that help things?
You've got to review it, Rob.
Yeah, David, do you think that Mike White would ever do an interview with me? Do you think that he would ever talk about Survivor?
Mike texts me a lot about Survivor, so he's still a fan. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Rob. I think maybe try him in a few, maybe about 5 years. Try him again.
That's my dream. That's my dream, that one day Mike comes back and talks to me. I didn't know I was making him so mad.
I still have not heard that interview.
Oh, you gotta should, back and yeah, you should it. Listen to it.
But I mean, but he's Mike's a fan of this podcast. Like, he listens here, dude.
Okay. All right. Well, look, yeah. He's welcome back anytime. He's not. He's not somebody that I have any ill will towards. So he can. So he can.
He loves
back.
The wiggle room.
He loves
yeah.
the. Yeah, I bet. I bet. Okay. Davey, well, it's so nice to get to catch up with you.
Yeah, man. I love the fact that you have this podcast now. I was never really too keen on podcasting just because I really didn't know about it. I didn't know what much of a craze it is, but I'm loving it now, dude. I listen to you in the shower, Rob.
Oh, yeah, I don't hear that a lot. Somebody recently, I was at we did our live show in New York, and somebody, I was talking to somebody, and he's like, hey, you know, I listen to you all the time when I'm on the toilet. And I said, that's nobody's ever told me that before.
Yeah, man. And I got to thank you for giving Bryce that outlet.
Yes.
He's amazing, dude.
Yeah, the Purple Pants podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I love it. Listen to that one in the shower, too. Yeah.
Were you insulted that you did not make the Zaddy calendar?
I would have been insulted had I seen someone from my season. But since I didn't see anyone on my season on the calendar, I'm like, okay, maybe he's just saving us for 2021.
Yeah, then what is it against the David versus Goliath? No, not even Hot Cop Dan, who has so many modeling photos, or the mayor of Slamtown.
I'm not going to get into that.
No Godfather.
No Godfather, man. I would have thought for sure Carl would have been the one to make it, but
yeah.
maybe he's waiting for 2021.
I know Nick is a big Bryce fan.
You know? But hey, I don't know, man. I mean, but he didn't do anyone from 39 either, so he's probably got a cutoff date,
is it,
right?
Is it because Wendell is taking up a spot every year? Is that what's blocking the David versus Goliath from coming through?
Wait, has Wendell been on there more than once?
Yes, yes. He made it both years.
Wow. Oh, man. I was just on Twitter and Jervis posted a throwback. Did you see that? He posted a throwback Thursday of him in a thong or something. And Bryce commented.
Yes. Jervis posted a picture where he was wearing like the Borat spandex bathing suit. I guess it must have been, what is that, like 2005 or whatever, or 2006 when Borat came out?
Right. And then Bryce commented about how much he loved it. And then Jervis was like, well, it wasn't good enough to make the Zaddy calendar.
I remember.
Gosh, man.
Yeah, that's tough for Bryce. You have to get everybody. There's a lot of drama that goes on.
Right, and now he's got the women's calendar too. Woo!
Yeah, hot girl summer calendar. Yeah. Okay. Well, Davey, so nice to get to catch up. You could follow Davey on Twitter. I tweet Davey. What's your Instagram?
I am
Davey. You're I am Davey on Instagram. Yes. But it's
I tweet Davey on Twitter. And that's just my brand. I mean, I guess I could make all of them I am Davey, but you know, I gotta save up for my I Twitch Davey sometime, you know?
Oh, okay. Davey, can you help me? I always make fun of people's when they have bad Twitter handles, but I want to start a Rob Has a Podcast Instagram, and somebody is squatting on Rob Has a Podcast, and somebody has RHAP. I don't know what to make it.
Oh, wow. Well, first... I think I might know someone who can get rid of that other account.
Yeah, okay, good.
but yeah, I can help you think of something.
Of something, Davey.
My friends always come to me for wedding hashtags. So, yeah.
Can you give us some examples of wedding hashtags that you did?
I've got a friend that's named Donald Jumper, and for his wedding hashtag, I was like, duh, jump the broom.
Has Nick Wilson reached out to you for a wedding hashtag?
You know what?
Recently engaged, Nick.
Right. Nick has not reached out to me yet. I gotta get thinking on that, huh? Mm-hmm. You guys tweet me some suggestions for Nick's wedding hashtag. We gotta get the ball moving.
Yeah. Okay. Well, David, this was so much fun. I really appreciate you making time. I know this is a busy day for you with Halloween.
My phone's going off.
Yeah. What will you do next? What are you gonna do after we get off the line?
I am going to just a club.
Club
it's a
Applebee's. Loaded fajitas.
Yeah, I'm going to Club Applebee's, man. I'm gonna go as a loaded fajita, and we're just gonna have a good time
with extra queso. Yeah,
all the fixins.
So, all right, I'm about to go. We gotta get trick or treat. You know, what time do people go trick or treating in Atlanta?
You know, I have not been able to cross trick or treating off of my bucket list. I have a home, but I live off the main highway, so kids will not come to my house.
Good.
But I think around six-ish.
Oh, six. So late. I feel like when I was a kid, and now I'm sounding super old, but we go like after school. It's like, oh no, you can't. You're not allowed to go until it's dark. Yeah, that's when you have to start. Like people don't go at like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, they're doing the trunk or treats now, too. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Something for me later on in life, because
Yeah, good. Enjoy it, Davey. All right. Yeah. Davey, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
All right, man. Come to Atlanta, Rob.
I'll talk to you offline, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Okay.
All right. All right, man. Take care. Everybody, there you have it. Davey Rickenbacker on the recap this week. Great spot by Davey. Had really had a fun time talking with him. Hope you guys enjoyed it too. We've got our feedback show coming up on Sunday this week. Usually I record Friday night or Saturday, but Allie Lasher is on her way to attend the wedding of her podcast co-host, the great Brian Cohen. So congratulations to Brian Cohen and the future Mrs. Brian Cohen on their wedding day on Saturday. And so I am going to be podcasting with Allie Lasher on Sunday this week. So you got a couple extra days to get your feedback questions in. So go ahead and fire them up at 323-282-RHAP, Rob's website.com/voicemail. You could email them in. Also, put a thread up on Twitter as well. Maybe even hit up the Rob's Podcast patron group to get questions for Allie Lasher. We'll have a RENAP going on over the weekend. The Masked Podcaster is coming, which is a very experimental episode, which I'm looking forward to getting into. And then the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. Of course, all of this podcasting is powered by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We'll also have a Facebook Friday going on. Had a 3.5 hour patron cast the other night. If you want to get in there, you want to talk to me and have some fun and meet all the other patrons in our Rob Has a Podcast patron community, then head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Check out all the different options that are available for patrons. Whether you want to dip your toe in, go all in, go ahead and check out robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you again for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.